The microphone's still sizzling from the dual appearance of the Border Patrol interns, Connell McCourt and Michael DiMaggio. There, I said their full names. Now we go back to calling them Lucky and Mean Mug. And I feel like that could be a podcast at some point. Lucky and Mean Mug discuss world events.
Somebody on Twitter, Marty, asked if the interns get a gift card for a free car wash
maybe.
As a parting gift.
That is something that we could offer. But I will say this, not the interns. We get in trouble for that. But for appearing in studio, Jarrett Sutton receives a gift card for a free car wash.
It's quick and easy, and your car gets a thorough hand job.
So congratulations.
I appreciate it. I need the car wash, too. I need a car wash.
We hope we all do.
Meet you out in the parking lot. I've needed a car wash now for about 3 weeks. And so car wash apparently is closed in the Northland.
Lots of naps.
I guess it's quick and easy for some. Yeah. Not for
it'll
us.
Work itself out.
Pray quick and easy, and your car gets a thorough cold shower. Repeatedly at 2 in the morning. Quick and easy, and your car is in tears in the basement. Quick and easy, and your car puts save. 50 Shades is on. Come down, let's watch it.
It's quick and easy, and your car gets a thorough hand job.
Isn't there a football game to watch, idiot? Oh, boy.
It's quick and easy, and your car gets busted with his laptop open in the bathroom.
No. Boy, that was very specific. First of all, who's taking the laptop into the bathroom? I feel like that's the giveaway right there. Keep going.
Why not are you okay?
Why do you have 5 candles lit in the bathroom? Why is there a trail of rose petals leading into the bathroom?
Coronal mass.
Why is there an
ejection?
Entire tray of essential oils in the
ejection?
Jarrett is so regretting coming
all right,
in.
Well, Dick, Connell's on their offense going, but Dick,
empty bottle of champagne on the bathroom sink. I don't understand.
No way, baby. I'm holding on to the meat.
Jarrett Sutton is here now to talk.
Wait, Jarrett, where are you going?
What were you here to talk about? Do you have any idea? I don't.
I guess car washes, right?
Yeah. Do you remember when you tweeted, you kept tweeting things about Michael Porter Jr., and then I tweeted you and said, stop it, I can't handle it, and then you kept tweeting things, and so then I had you in studio to answer for these damn tweets. Are you just playing with my emotions? Or do you really believe in your heart of hearts, in that black and gold heart of yours, that Michael Porter Jr. will be in a Mizzou uniform playing in a basketball game this season?
Well, I think one of those tweets, though, was on a Sunday. I think it was post-Chiefs loss to the Giants, maybe. So just trying, pump some spirit.
You knew I needed something.
So. Yeah. So I to answer your question, yes, I do. I think he's going to play. I think health-wise, he will be able to play. Now, the question is, will him and his family make the decision to play?
Okay,
I think that's the question.
I think we all, based on what everyone's saying, we all agree that at some point he's going to be, unless there's some type of setback in rehab, and that could happen, but we all believe, everyone believes that at some point he will be physically able to play.
Correct.
And so then you have to talk about what you said, the decision. And so I know you talked to a lot of people. You've called Mizzou games, but it's funny. It seems like even people close to the program have no idea at times what's going on.
Right.
But do you believe that that decision has been made? That do you think that the family will let him play? Do you think Michael wants to play? What have you heard based on what the decision could be when it comes to that?
Well, I think there's a couple of things that I think about as far as just, Michael made the post, I think it was to his Instagram, and he deleted it a couple hours later that basically said that, I'll be back at some point kind of thing, hinting at that. That was my first initial thought that he wants to play, I think. I think the decision as far as what is right for him long term and thinking about the NBA future and being healthy going into his rookie season if he does decide to declare, I think that's where him and his parents are deciding that, and I think that's going to be the overall decision. I think with Michael, when I look around college basketball and see guys that he's played on the AU circuit with, guys that he's friends with, guys like Trae Young, Ayton at Arizona, Bagley, Bamba, those guys are destroying college basketball right now. And you got to think a little bit of him as thinking, I should be doing that too. And again, if he comes back, he'll be fully healthy.
And his brother and reclassified his to play with him.
Exactly. So I think if it's Michael making the decision, I think he wants to play. I think he wants to be on the floor. I just feel like they're going to probably get advice from people that are there, they trust, people that are close to them, doctors making sure that, is this the right decision for him to go back and play? Can this, can he have setbacks?
Should ask me, because I'd love to give some advice there. I would say yes.
But I think Michael really genuinely wants to play. I think when he sits on the bench, guys I've talked to that around the team, but after games, before games, practices, he's really upbeat. He's positive. I think he's itching to play. Honestly, I really believe that. So we'll see. It's only a matter of time. We can't really, project what's going to happen. It's really comes down to him and his parents making the decision.
Now, Vahe Gregorian had a very good column you could read in the Kansas City Star today. And the Instagram story and the post that you referenced was when Michael Porter Jr. tweeted out or Instagrammed out, just letting y'all know, whoever said it was going to take 3 to 4 months to recover lied. And as Nate points out, with two wink smile emojis that caught Nate's eye,
But I felt when it said 3-4 months, I thought that doesn't seem right.
You err on the side of caution. That's common sports.
Right.
You want to give the longest recovery time. So then, if they do come back early, you look good. And if there's a setback, or whatever, you're protecting yourself from giving out the wrong information. But they did say, likely to miss the season. They didn't say for sure to miss the season. But then what started this whole nother round of speculation yesterday was an orthopedic surgeon, Rick Lehman, was on 590 radio in St. Louis, and he said that after years of seeing such injuries, he expected the recovery time to be more like 6 to 8 weeks. He's worked with Michael Jordan and Tiger Woods. Hopefully he had nothing to do with Tiger Woods' back, and because if that's so, then I don't want to hear anything this man has to say about back injuries in sports. But
I think Tony Romo was in there, right?
Oh, boy. And so he was a team physician for the St. Louis Blues, worked with Jackie Joyner Kersee at the 96 Olympics. So Vahe Gregorian knows this doctor, and so we called him after that story from the radio in St. Louis came out, and he asked him about it, and this is what he told Vahe, and Vahe wrote this in the Kansas City Star. He called the injury pretty common, added that there had been no fusion or implanting of an artificial disc. Lehman said all indications of the recovery should be consistent with what he's seen repeatedly over decades, 6 to 8 weeks after the surgery. And so, and I think the big part, the big takeaway, he told Vahe Gregorian that he had information he could not elaborate on that helped support his contention. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just a guess. He had information that supported what he's saying, but he just couldn't say what the information is or where he got it from. And then he went on to say, I really believe he's going to be able to contribute to the level he would have been able to absent the back surgery, and I think he's going to be a meaningful part of the team. But he also gave the caveat that it depends on the family's decision and all this other stuff. And so it's not Missouri fans sitting here creating these stories, because like you said, after that press release came out, no Michael Porter Jr., and you dealt with it and you move on, then the Instagram story. Now, this guy on St. Louis radio, all these things keep happening, and you can't ignore it,
yep.
Right? And guess what? Michael Porter Jr. sent that stuff out because he probably wants a reaction or something. I don't know.
That spoke a lot to me because I thought, okay, he wants to prove everybody wrong, and he wants to come back, and he doesn't just want to take this season, not play, because he knows how much it meant to the Mizzou fan base, to Coach Martin, too, and his family to come back to Columbia and play. He wanted to do that. I think another factor in this is where the team is at when he's cleared to play. Because if you look at their schedule heading into SEC play, they got a couple games they should be able to roll. Then they got Illinois. I saw Illinois against UNLV. They're down. I think they're a year away. That's a game Missouri should win. I say should. We'll see if that Missouri can continue to play consistent basketball. They're building. I love the confidence that they're getting. Starting to gel together. You can start to see every game. They're starting to improve in different areas.
Even if Austin won't be easy, that's a good program. They only have one loss. That's going to be an interesting non-con game as well.
Yeah. I'm not saying just writing those off as wins, obviously. Not doing that yet, but one game at a time.
That's right.
But just looking at the Michael Porter timeline, once we get into league play, those three out of the first four games, or four out of the first five, are against teams that are probably going to make the NCAA tournament. So we're going to find out a lot about this team early on, come conference play. And then I think at that point, if Missouri's in a good place, I think Michael will have even that more of an interest in playing this season.
Right, he's not coming back if they're sub 500. They're right. Not going to be. But North Florida is the next game. Then they play Stephen F. Austin. Then the Bragging Rights game. And how about the first four games, like you said, in conference play, at South Carolina and Frank Martin to start things off, home against Florida, home against Georgia is a game that they should beat. They should win. They should beat Georgia. But then at Arkansas, home against Tennessee, at Texas A&M. So about three ranked schools, and then at South Carolina and at Arkansas, all in that first six game stretch. That's going to be tough.
Yeah, those road games starting league play, I mean, and you want to talk about guard play, taking care of the basketball. When we talk about the West Virginia game and the meltdown there, and the, you know, the conversation centered around the point guard position, South Carolina guard play, you know, pestering, getting out in passing lanes, forcing turnovers, and then Arkansas with the fastest 40. They play that type of style, up speed, turn the ball over, speed you up, kind of controlled chaos. That's, again, those games on the road, hostile environments. Arkansas fans will come out, South Carolina fans will come out. You got to be able to show you can win on the road. And it's good that they got that out of the way going to UCF, winning a close game, a tough game, winning late, closing out a game. They got that experience. So I think hopefully that'll continue to build and into league play.
Okay, and I want to wind Nate Buchanan up. I like when you get mad about things. And I saw this. I thought, boy, this is going to push Nate's buttons. Okay. And then you could go in our office and grab the soapbox, would you please?
Be right back.
Have you heard about, Terrence Phillips, point guard from Mizzou.
Yep.
Have you heard about what he's doing? Is he has a nonprofit organization. It's called Beyond the Ball. And he's doing a charity toy drive to collect toys for kids that might need them, that might not get them around Christmas time.
Great cause.
What a great thing for a...
Fantastic.
Right? Per NCAA rules, Mizzou Athletics cannot help Beyond the Ball's holiday toy drive, so no collection boxes can be at Mizzou Arena's entrances. No video advertisements during timeouts. Phillips had to receive an NCAA waiver to use his likeness on any promotions. Phillips also had to delete all mention of Mizzou basketball from his social media accounts while promoting his charity. And Phillips said because his playing time has shrunk under new head coach Konzo Martin, that scrubbing led to questions about whether or not Phillips is transferring. He says, no, I'm not transferring. I'm trying to tweet about this, but I'm not allowed. I'm not allowed to mention the basketball team that I play for. He's trying to use that platform to do something good, to help the community, to help kids, to do charitable work. And the NCAA has all this red tape and everything else. No. You can't put bins to collect toys for kids that might need them. Are you kidding? This is the NCAA. And you just read this, and it's a really good article written by Aaron Reese of the Kansas City Star. And I know you go up and down around this thing with the NCAA and how stupid they can be sometimes. So he has collection boxes set up around an apartment complex, a couple of bars, a restaurant, gymnastics studio, different places in Columbia. But it sure would help if he could promote that as part of Mizzou basketball. Say, hey, we got a player that's trying to do great things for the community and for charity. We're going to put these bins here. When you come to the game, drop in a couple of toys, and then all these other kids will get toys too. Hey, thanks, NCAA. Merry Christmas.
So I've never heard of this. This is the first. I mean, I saw the article. This is the first time I've heard of this apparent rule that you can't use what you can't. I'm assuming the rule is you can't use your likeness. And you can't use the promotional vehicle that the NCAA affords you to raise money for charity?
Yeah.
To take up charitable causes?
Not surprised by it.
No collecting toys. Yeah. Whatever you do, please don't. Look,
it's the NCAA, again, just trying to show like that they have the last draw. And
there must be a reason for it, but I can't for the life of me understand why the NCAA would not want their players to be able to like take up their own charity causes. Right. And
or look at it, if you think there's going to be any issues, look on a case-by-case basis.
Right.
Have a couple of guys wearing suits down there that sit there and do nothing but have a thumb up their ass.
No, they
right?
make money. They make money, okay. the nonprofit that they work for.
And say, okay, hey, let's take a look. What's this kid trying to do? Oh, it's good. It will bring good publicity. He's actually trying to do something positive. all right, yeah, let's let this happen. Somebody else wants to do it. Just look at it in a case-by-case basis. I don't think it's, I mean, is that ridiculous?
I just don't understand why you have to delete everything. He's a Mizzou basketball player, and you're telling him he's got to delete all that, and there can't be any sort of tie-in with Mizzou basketball to helping get toys to kids in the community. I don't understand that. And it's great for the program, and I know Konzo's happy about it, and I didn't know that either, Nate. This is the first time I've heard of it as well.
Why wouldn't you be happy about it?
Yeah.
I don't get that at all. If you're anyone associated with the program, if you're just a person, like, wouldn't you say, you know what? That's a good idea. That kid's trying to do something and use his platform and his opportunity to reach people to collect toys or raise money for kids. And the NCAA is doing whatever it can to stop it.
Yep.
That's it, right? What else could you possibly say? I thought you'd get a kick out of that.
Good God. I just, you know, this is the type of stuff that the NCAA concerns itself with.
Mm-hmm. Right. If you're wondering why it takes so long for investigations and things to get resolved.
Don't they have more important things to worry about?
They're focused on this.
I mean, it's...
You also don't even know what to say when you're like,
look, I've become so jaded, as Steven knows, over time about this. The entire existence of the organization is in my opinion, a fraudulent thing at this point, okay? It's a nonprofit, right? Like, these are amateurs, and this is a nonprofit. What was the last TV deal they got for the NCAA tournament worth?
Right.
For a nonprofit,
right.
You know? So they got to keep up the guise of being something that they're not, you know, of being a nonprofit, you know? And so in order to keep up that guise, they have to come up with all these goofy rules and, you know. Now, up until Jay Billis called them out on it, they had no problem selling Terrence Phillips jerseys online and making money off that.
Yeah.
They had no problem with that whatsoever.
Right.
But heaven forbid he use his own likeness in the promotional vehicle that's afforded him to get Christmas presents for kids that couldn't afford them. Okay. Yeah, at this point, I mean, nothing will stun me at this point, you know.
Yeah, that's what I said. I'm not surprised by it, but it's...
I mean, meanwhile, there's no punishment whatsoever for North Carolina for having fake classes that, you know, which I told you I don't even really care that much about, but they supposedly, that's what they are. They're supposed to be student athletes, you know.
Wouldn't you want something positive surrounding college basketball with what's going on this year from the ball, the UCLA situation, the assistant coach scandal, FBI scandal? Like, don't you want something positive like that surrounding, even though it's associated with one program, but it's a kid trying to do good for his community.
I
figured
you'd
want that type
like
of positivity.
Right. That's
bizarre to me.
Well, let's take a break. When we come back, I had to get that off my chest. You know? It's just
I hadn't heard that.
And congratulations to Terrence Phillips.
Yeah. Absolutely.
For just having the idea and wanting to do that. And wanting to use this platform to help other people.
Great kid,
because
too.
Because that's awesome. We'll take a break back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the show. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I just sent the link out to Terrence Phillips' GoFundMe to raise money for his Christmas toy drive. So if you want to retweet that, at SSJWHB. Just hopefully the NCAA won't get mad. Actually, I hope they do.
These damn kids we got trying to...
Can you believe this? It's a kid that's trying to raise toys for the kids.
Well, you guys see the problem is once they relax on something like this, then that just opens the floodgates.
Right, right. Then they'll try to help all type
if
of
one can
people
do it.
That need
I mean,
it.
What's next?
I mean,
big brothers, big sisters?
Right. Where do we stop, guys?
It's a slippery slope, isn't it?
Do we stop?
I don't know.
We stop right now with Jared Sutton, who was going to talk college basketball with us. Mizzou's in the soft part of the schedule. They play North Florida on Saturday, but then they get into Stephen F. Austin and the Bragging Rights game, and so we can talk about Mizzou a little bit more next week. We spent the first segment talking about Michael Porter Jr. and Terrence Phillips, but you scout for the NBA, and you've spent time, we told you earlier this season, you spent time at a KU basketball practice, and so you've watched them very closely. What's your reaction been to these back-to-back losses to Washington at Sprint Center and then to Arizona State at Allen Fieldhouse?
I honestly can't remember the last time Kansas gave up 95 points in Allen Fieldhouse.
I believe that the last time they gave up that many points was when they beat Kentucky like 150 to 105 in the first year of the Rick Pitino.
Okay.
I was at that game. It was like 1989.
Okay.
And that was Rick Pitino.
Did Rick Pitino make love to anyone at an Italian restaurant after the game?
I don't know about that, but I do remember the story was that because they were going to do the run, you know, the high press, high tempo, and he didn't have the players yet to pull it off. And KU had some really good offensive players. It's like Roy's second year, I think, at KU. Maybe second or third, something like that. And at some point, they were just running Kentucky. They might have had 80 points at halftime.
Mm-hmm.
And Roy said something to him like, look, we'll back off, you know, and slow this down so it doesn't get ugly. If you want to stop pressing or whatever, we'll slow the game down ourselves. And Pitino's like, no, this is how we're playing. I don't care if you score 150. And so they did. But they scored 105 or something like that. But that's the only other time that I think Kansas has given up this many points at Allen Fieldhouse.
Fun fact, in Louisville, the restaurant where that took place with Rick Pitino,
go on.
The table has a actual, like, it's like an engraved like sign that says, this is the table Rick Pitino. And I remember going into the my buddy, it's a scout. He's like, you got to go to the restaurant
in
Louisville. I'm like, all right. So I swing by there, and sure enough, it's just like, it's like this.
That's
it's like a light shining down on the table.
That's the way you do it. If you own like, that really? Restaurant. That's you don't try to run from that. That you embrace it.
Yeah.
Can you actually sit at that table?
Yeah.
Wow,
you can.
That's fantastic.
I mean, I think like in the dinner hour, it's like it's reserved. Like we want the Pitino table.
We go to Louisville. You
I
know
mean, do you want to eat at that table?
I know,
table?
Right?
Like, do you really want to eat at that table?
I don't know, Jake. Your thoughts on
that? Yeah, I want to eat at that table. I want to eat off that table.
Look at easy there. Now that wow. Look at the look of excitement on that young man's face.
Yeah. So I interrupted you in the middle.
Yeah.
You were talking
no.
about the defensive or lack of defensive performance by KU against Arizona State.
You know, I'm honestly somewhat surprised. I mean, they got good guards that can score the basketball, but defensively, Kansas has always hung their hat on defense, on toughness. You know, you look at the stat sheet. I mean, they're efficient. They're scoring the ball. I know in the Washington game. I watched the second half. I didn't catch the first half, but the second half, you know, they throw that zone and they put LeGerald right there at the top of the key, right at the free throw line extended, and then they just expect him to go make the play, and all the guards just stand and watch.
Yeah.
And they got guards that can attack. Like Devontae, it's almost like, you know, he had the 35-point games, and he can shoot the lights out. I mean, but Devontae can attack too, and I'd like to see them actually penetrate the zone and then get some more offensive flow just because of the way the defense is playing you doesn't mean you just get back on your heels. You know, that was the weird part for me that the whole second half I'm thinking, well, Kansas, they got guys that can attack and make plays and get to the free throw line, but it was almost like we're going to throw it to LeGerald and then everybody else just kind of stands. And they're outside the three-point line almost towards half court and just watching LeGerald. And LeGerald's a great player. I mean, he's having these great games scoring the basketball, but that one piece stood out to me. And then they're not closing out. It seems like the enthusiasm on the defensive end and the energy isn't there. And I know Azubuike wants to stay out of foul trouble. Like, he's so good offensively. He wants to stay out of foul trouble. I think that's kind of playing a factor as well. Lightfoot gives them good minutes. But they have guys that I think have that blue-collar mentality, but they're just not doing it enough on the defensive end. They have breakdowns. Their rotations aren't as strong as they usually are. But I know this much. I mean, If I'm in that locker room and Bill Self's my coach, I know that those practices after these games, those are going to be some tough sit down, defend, guard, consecutive stops. I mean, you're going to play defense the whole practice because they got to improve in that area. I'm not so much concerned about them offensively. It's more so defensively because that's their identity. It always has been, and that's where they got to get better and they got to improve and find ways to communicate better on the defensive end because sometimes it's just not communicating, not closing out, not rotating. A switch comes, you go with the same guy, you leave a guy wide open. Little things like that. Those are correctable, but that's got to be worked out in practice and film.
Okay, so, you know, we were talking about Bill Self's quote after the game. He said this is the softest team that he's ever coached in Kansas. And I was telling Steven that I feel like I remember Bill Self saying that a time or two in the past. They lost a home game to San Diego State a few years ago. After the game, I feel like he said, you know, this is the softest team Scott Chasen, who covers KU for the UDK, dug up this quote just from last year about their defense. This was last year. He said, "It took us a while to get this poor. You don't just get this bad overnight defensively. It's going to take us a while to get better defensively, too. I'd like to see some marginal improvement, no question, from a competitive standpoint, a pride standpoint. But I don't know if we can change who we are in 2 days." I mean, this was in the middle of last season. And they ended up being a top 25 defense by most of the adjusted rankings. The difference is Bill Self teams usually are like top five, you know, adjusted defense. I don't know that this team, maybe I guess if they get the big guys, they. I don't know how good could this can this team be defensively, even if they embrace what Bill Self wants them to be.
Well, that's a good point. I mean, it's an unknown about what's going to happen with guys that are not currently active. Billy Preston, we'll see what happens there. We'll see if he comes back. I don't know yet.
Silvio D'Souza, if he passes his SAT and all that.
So what have you heard, Nate? Nate has some inside information on Billy Preston.
I don't have any inside information on Billy Preston.
I don't believe it.
For some reason, I just get the feeling that they might, you know, after semester, but I don't know.
Hey, as long as he doesn't start a toy drive, everything should be fine. Everything is good.
Go ahead.
So I think, you get those bodies back. That only helps you because you look at from a depth perspective and Coach Self using the bench. I mean, he only played 7 guys against Arizona State. And I think Garrett is a guard that is going to be really good. I think when he plays, his main focus has to be on the defensive end. The guys that come in, Lightfoot, those guys got to be dialed in because that's what's going to keep them on the floor, is if they can guard, not give up buckets, be tough, fix what needs fixed. Because on team in defense, with 5 guys playing defense, you all have to work in tandem. You know, you can have one guy that just – I think Sfima Kailuk is a really good defender. I think it's – hot and cold. I think it's inconsistent, but he's a really good defender. He can be, but you want it consistently enough. I think in the Arizona State game, he showed signs of him having the desire to guard. Other guys weren't really engaged, and you have to have all 5 guys on the floor be engaged with one another. So I think to your question, Nate, all 5 guys have to. They're going to watch this film and they're going to see where they broke down, and then they're going to go practice, and there's going to be that intensity of the practice of. Who cares who's scoring the ball, who's shooting the ball? We got to guard and defend and get. And another thing, too, is like building on consecutive stops. Kansas is so good at getting consecutive stops, not stopping a team one time, but going 4 or 5 minutes where they're limiting teams to one shot. They're getting steal. They're jumping a pass lane, getting a steal, going down in transition. They have those moments where they play solid, sound defense with principle for consecutive possessions. That's what they're lacking, I think, over these last 2 games. And you get those guys back, it just helps you be able to play different rotations and match up better. Because they are playing small ball, they're playing with the guard-heavy offense. They can throw it into Azubuike, obviously. But honing in on the defense with guard play and with the bigs supporting that, I think still remains to be seen.
So Kansas plays a road game on Saturday against Nebraska ball. And so tell me what you think of this. Mike DeCourcy said he doesn't expect it to be an easy game for Kansas, especially, I mean, they've lost back-to-back games, but Nebraska 7-4, they are 5-0 at home, and they do have a win over, at the time, the 14th-ranked team in the nation, Minnesota. They played some good squads. They played Michigan State, and they played at Creighton. They lost by 10 at Creighton. They got run by Michigan State, but a lot of teams are going to do that. But they beat Boston College. Boston College is a team that we've seen. They beat Duke, you know, and it's kind of a dangerous game to get into that deal, but they beat BC. They played against Central Florida. We saw Mizzou play that team. They lost to Central Florida. They lost to St. John's, but it's not a pushover.
Right.
What do you think about Kansas at Nebraska on Saturday night?
Yeah, so Nebraska played Creighton pretty tough, lost by 10, and I like Creighton a lot, but with Tim Miles, good coach, I think needed some time at Nebraska. They've needed, you know, guys to stay there. They've had guys transfer out.
That's not an easy job.
Not an easy job at all. but they, you know, they got the Copeland kid who's pretty good, their leading scorer, and I think the matchup for Kansas is guarding the 3-point line with them. I think Nebraska can shoot it really well.
And the crowd should be nuts.
Hostile environment. And again, your back's against the wall. You've lost 2 straight. I still think it's not so much about the opponent, I think, with Kansas. It's more so looking at yourself because they have guys that can do it. They have guys that can guard. They have guys that can be an impact on both ends of the floor, and especially like guys like LeGerald Vick. LeGerald Vick's an NBA prospect, and he's a guy that can impact the game defensively. But will he consistently do that? Finding that consistency. That's what they got to find. I think you can scout, you can look at the film, you can game plan for Nebraska, but I still think you got to look in house and look at yourself first and fix what needs fixing, because you've seen it against Washington, you've seen it against Arizona State, where teams are scoring against you, they're getting open looks, their dribble penetration has been a problem, cutting off dribble penetration, and then the help side defense. So all those things I think Kansas has to focus on before they look ahead to any opponent. Nebraska, good team. I think they're still in a rebuild mode, but they got some guys. Coach Miles is a good coach, so it's going to be a tough matchup for him regardless.
One more segment with Jared Sutton. I do want to mention here is an interesting signing that affects the AL Central, and let me go on record here. It could end up not being very good, but this is the type of signing that I love for the Minnesota Twins. I love it. The risk versus reward. Michael Pineda, who's got all the talent and stuff in the world, but just was never able to put it together with the Yankees, but you would see some starts, he was unhittable. You think this guy is going to be a star. Then you'd see, well, I mean, his strikeout to walk's always good, but then you see him just fall apart in innings, and it would ruin a start. He signs with the Minnesota Twins a two-year, $10 million deal. I love that signing for the Twins. They feel like they're close, and maybe a guy like this, if it comes together for them, right? I mean, that's a great signing for a team like
low
the
risk,
Twins.
High
and
reward.
I would have loved the Royals if they were trying to, you know, contend to have this kind of signing. And so Twins signed Michael Pineda to a two-year, $10 million deal. Very good signing, a worthwhile risk for the Twins. We will take a break. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the show. Thank you to a good friend, Johnny Walker, who made the trip in from way up north to deliver some food. Jake Pounders, have you enjoyed any of the delectables, any of the deliciousness in there?
The sausage in here?
Like Connell the Infant buried his face in
some egg
biscuits and gravy. So, did he really?
Yeah, there's some scrambled eggs.
Did he actually put his face in the gravy?
Yeah.
That's what you're supposed to do.
Get your face out of the gravy, Connell.
So thank you to Johnny Walker for stopping by. Always good to see him. And later on, I'll be thanking Johnny Walker Black, who is a welcome visitor in my basement on many evenings. And we sit and talk about what used to be. Now, Jared Sutton is here in studio. And Jared, I had a chance. Exchanged messages with your old coach Frank Haith after he got a big win in the Wildcat Classic against Kansas State.
Yep.
For Tulsa, that was a big win. But as Mike DeCourcy said, not a good loss for Kansas State. Tulsa was 4-4. Was it Illinois State that they lost to twice already in a holiday tournament and then a regular game that was scheduled? And so that seems weird that they'd already played them twice, but
right.
not your normal, you know, right. NCAA tournament team, at least right now, Tulsa team. So what about that? That game was in Wichita.
Mm-hmm.
Not good for the resume in the non-con for K-State.
Yeah, not good at all. K-State did not shoot it well in that game. They got dominated on the glass, too, which I think was a concern. I didn't get to see the game. I saw some highlights of it. And just knowing kind of the style Coach Haith plays, to hold Kansas State to 54 points, I mean, that's a pretty solid defensive night. I mean, I think that's where the game is won for Tulsa's on the defensive end, holding Kansas State to less than, I think, 20% from three, I think it was.
And Tulsa's four losses are to Lamar. One guy beat him. Wow. Iowa State and twice to Illinois State, to put that in perspective.
Yeah, I mean, in the game against K-State, they only had two guys in double figures scoring the basketball. So, you know, I think for Kansas State, yeah, it's a bad loss for them. Not to take anything away from Tulsa, because it's a good win for them. But
right.
Kansas State, I think, is a team that they got guys returning. That's a game that they should be able to win.
I'm a big fan of Xavier Sneed.
When I saw that the game was played in Wichita, sometimes that throws guys off playing in a different venue. It's considered a home game. You know, you don't get used to rims, the floor, not to make any excuse. But I just, when I looked at that game, saw it played in Wichita, don't think the crowd was necessarily all that great. Those are games sometimes that you can be flat. And honestly, and I think Kansas State was. They didn't shoot it all that well. And give Tulsa credit. They did a nice job of closing late and really rebounding and defending.
Speaking of Wichita, you've been contemplating going to see the Wichita State-Oklahoma matchup. Trey Young and Landry Shamet, Kansas City's own, Park Hill's own.
Yep.
This kid is phenomenal. What a matchup.
Yeah,
right.
I keep preaching Landry Shamet. Tulsa kid, Kansas City Pacers, my old AAU team. He is he's a stud, coach on the floor, first and foremost.
I love him.
He's one of the most intelligent basketball players that I've seen. And obviously he can shoot it, can pass. He's long, athletic. Trey Young is obviously a stud. He's just scoring at will, it seems like. Has had double games, and you knew he'd be this good, but I'm going Wichita State. Like I've told you before, this team I think is better than the Final Four team in 2013 that Wichita State had. Athletic, more depth, and Landry, when things are getting hairy for Wichita State, he's the one that makes the plays late, and that's how they've won a couple of these games they've had on the road. It's him closing, so this is just going to be a terrific matchup.
It was so weird because we asked Lebo, who do you think is going to win the Oklahoma game? And he said, well, I like Baker Mayfield. Because, no, it's basketball, Lebo. There's also a basketball program. He was unaware that they were playing on Saturday, but we'll look forward to it. I like that matchup. I think Wichita State is going to win, but, man, Landry Shamet and Trey Young, if you love basketball, just sit back.
Yeah,
Oklahoma!
Like Nate said, sit back, have about 4 or 5 drinks, and enjoy.
Yeah. Exactly. So everybody wants to talk about Trey Young and Sexton. But Landry Shamet needs to be in that category.
Jake's always trying to talk about Sexton.
Always.
He calls that texting and Sexton, so I don't know what that means. But if you get a text message after 10 p.m. from Jake, it's probably wise not to open it up. Also, I will mention, come out to see me at Pegas Family Restaurant, K7 and Johnson Drive. I'm going to be there from 11 to 1, 11 until fun, all 4 locations. You can get normally the dinner platters that are $12. You get them for $5. Oh, boy, fantastic. Jared Sutton, thank you so much for the time.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Were you glad you were here?
I was. The opening segment with the car wash. It's good radio.
Well, send him off the right way once again for his appearance in studio with the Border Patrol. Jared Sutton gets a free car wash.
It's quick and easy, and your car gets a thorough hand job.
Good luck to you. See, it's worth it to come out here. Everyone have a great day on Sports Radio 810 WHB.